the airport.
Oh, yeah.
On one of those new concourses. There weren't very many people there, and about two legislators, if I remember right. But he and I always got along good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, with when he died last year, there was a family service and then the big memorial at the Capitol. And the big memorial at the Capitol had Atiyahs from all over the place.
Yeah, I was there.
And those who flew in the right place were kind of amazed to see Uncle Vic standing in the airport.
Yeah. Norm.
I'm spent about an hour and 10 minutes talking. He was then going to sign a bunch of letters for the Capitol Foundation. But Doug Roberts was giving a talk on ONC money, so he was.
You say Doug Roberts was?
He was over there talking about ONC money. And so he was going to pop in and listen to that.
To Norm.
He's talking, it's to a group over at the Ford Foundation right now.
Oh, all right, yeah.
I joked that, is there still ONC money? That certainly has changed over the years.
No, it's just government money out, your taxes.
Yeah.
And mine.
Yeah.
Hell, you can't cut any timber, you know, to speak of.
Nope.
And this county depended on it more than any.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the environmentalists won. I was in the timber logging business, so I know a lot.
Oh, good. So when you were in the legislature, you represented Riddle?
Well, represented most of Douglas County.
Mm-hmm. So it's like the southern part, did you go to the coast?
Well, when I first ran in 68, when I won, there were two representatives. They represented all the county.
Okay.
And then they along came redistricting.
Right.
And I lost the city of Roseburg, but I damn near kept the rest of the county.
Okay. Yeah.
Including Reedsport.
Okay. That's how Gary Wilhelm described his district. Because he was Klamath Falls. Mm-hmm. But he was just Klamath Falls.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you know the Tim Chucks in Reedsport?
He worked for my wife and I. Kerry did for about three sessions in Salem.
Okay.
When he was going to school across the street.
Yeah.
And also law school.
Yeah.
Quite a guy. Got quite a job there running that outfit.
Given the way they were going through executive directors, clearly something's working because he's now been there for a few years.
Well, they damn near were going broke.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of eating to do there.
Well, it's a lot of nibbling. It'll be perfect.
Where'd you go to high school?
Medford.
Oh, if you're from down there.
Yeah. So I don't know if you paid attention to county commissioners or watched the local news, but my dad was the county commissioner in Jackson County in the 1970s. A guy named Tam Moore.
In 1970?
He was there, actually, 74 to 78. 75 to 79.
I'm sure I knew him, but doesn't ring a gong. This was many years ago.
Yeah. He was the anchorman at KOBI television there.
When do you hope to write this book?
I hope it comes out next year. I'm in the process of writing right now. I've got enough stuff so that I go into sections and write. And actually, the first part I wrote about was Victor and his sports. Because he got a contract from the Green Bay Packers in 1944.
Yeah, he played at Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't the Army get him?
Mm-mm. He had a...
He had some
a
kind
football
of
injury that turned into a cyst. And so he was 4F. His twin brothers went in and they were captured in the Battle of the Bulge.
I remember that.
Yeah. And one of his older brothers is still with us. So a great source of family information for me.
Did Mrs. die recently? She's still going then.
She's still going. Dementia. And she, when Vic fell, she had fallen last summer as well. So she was in a rehab place. But now they've got her in a place everybody's happy with.
Well, hopefully she is.
Yeah.
Well, she was really not too well there the last... Before all this happened to her.
No. She's been in... I'm not sure how long, but I think it's been like maybe 3 or 4 years. And then last summer, just before Vic fell, his nephew was in a plane crash.
Did he survive it?
Yeah, he survived it, but he's also in a rehab place.
All beat up?
Yeah. It was back in Arkansas or someplace, so it took a while to get him back here.
Is the store long since gone?
No, it's gone to the third generation. One of Vic's nephews runs it.
Is it a viable business?
It's a viable business. They moved it out of downtown maybe 10 years ago. So it's out in the suburbs now, kind of where the business is. And it's cheaper.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently there's one of the fourth generation is interested in keeping it going, so... And then Vic's brother, or Vic's son, Tom, has his own rug business. He married someone who speaks Chinese.
What kind of business?
A rug business as well.
Oh, in the rug business.
Yeah.
But separate.
Separate. And he married someone who speaks Chinese, and so they get rugs from China.
I didn't know any of his children. How many did he have?
He has two. Suzanne. They both spoke at the service.
Yeah.
So there was Suzanne and then her older brother, Tom. And Tom looks exactly like Vic's father.
Better
So you ready?
You better
I'll keep. I'll be nibbling. It'll work.
I'm not going to worry about it. You're not exactly underweight.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, let me just say this, and then you can... I wrote down a... I was thinking about it.
Oh, good.
My first recollection of Vic was he was in the Senate, and I think it was my second term. He and I ended up, my wife and I, and he and his, I don't think his wife ever came down. I don't remember now, but I didn't think so.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same apartment house.
Okay.
And that's where I got acquainted with him, and I think he was the chairman of the tax committee at those days. They call it tax instead of revenue. And he was trying to explain to me some of the tax, and it was just completely Greek to me. If you don't, you got to get in there and understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And I was new at the game, so maybe it was my freshman term, I don't remember. But we got along, and that's what's important. And, I just don't remember much else about that except for where I met him. And.
Mm-hmm.
And in one instance, I had, he was a gun collector.
Yeah.
And I was invited to his house one night for a cocktail party, and I got to talking to him about guns. And so we go upstairs in one of the bedrooms, one of the closets was just full of them.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly after that summer, I guess it was, why... He and I met up down to Grants Pass at that, this side of Grants Pass, 4 or 5 miles, is a gun club.
Right.
Have you been in it?
Yeah.
And I used to use that politically real well when they had their big Memorial Day or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Thousands of people. Buffalo eats. They'd roast a buffalo on the ground.
Oh, great.
That was their draw.
Yeah.
But anyway, they had a shoot with black powder. Well, I never shot a black powder. I ever had one in my hand. Well, end up shooting against Vic for the title.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, he had a load of the gun for me, but I beat him. He didn't like that very well, and I kind of got a kick out of it. But he's a good man. I really like Vic. And the only time that he probably swore at me, and I don't know if I swore at him, but not face to face. Which when we were so short of money, I've forgotten what years it was. It's probably in there already.
Mm-hmm.
And we were about $45-50 million short to balance the budget. And it wasn't my worry as a governor. He had to figure out how to...
Right.
Although I thought it should have been up to the legislature, but it didn't seem to be at that time.
Yeah.
And I had made a public statement because I had heard that the committee was worrying about it. I guess you'd call it the Ways and Means Committee. We're eyeing the workman comp reserve fund.
Yeah.
And I made a public statement that not that... I wouldn't put up for that because that's for injured workers.
Yeah.
Sounded good politically.
Yeah.
I assume. Now that I look back at it. But I really didn't like it. And I must have been on the revenue committee, and he wanted me to vote for that. And I knew he did, but it was two or three times I saw him in the hall, and he said, Bill, like you... When I get a moment, I'd like you to come in the office and talk to me about it. And I nod my head, and I wouldn't go in because I knew what he wanted to try and twist my arm. And I think that, and then he sent me notes twice to please come and talk to him. Well, I just threw them away. So he probably, but anyway, he got the money, and I lost on that issue, and that's fine. But, and they finally recovered the money. It took him about 12 years and three times the time he got the interest into it.
Yes. I talked to Ted Kulongoski, who was actually the one who was Attorney General and signed off on it. $70 million had become $240 or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was the only real difference of opinion that he and I ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And what else did I know about him? Oh, I had a delightful time with him, and so did he. You know where the Wolf Creek Inn is.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever stopped there?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was a real pile of junk the state bought. And I
mm-hmm.
just about fainted when I knew that State Parks was going to buy it, because I thought, my God, a good fire would be...
Mm-hmm.
But it did have historical significance. What tore it apart was a couple. That was a real hotbed in there for the marijuana growers and users. That and down toward the coast from
yeah.
Grants Pass.
Yeah.
And I should jump up and help that young lady. Help her eat it. But anyway, two families of those. Really way out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, extreme out. We're living there, and they just tore it up. And I thought it was too bad, because it had historical significance of General Grant or whoever. A couple
yeah.
of them stopped there. And
yeah.
all that stuff. But anyway, they bought it. And the state spent about $1 million, and they took it apart right down to the big rock foundation. Maybe you're aware of it. And then rebuilt it.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they got. And it looks nice.
Yeah.
It's got most of the significance.
Yeah.
Except it's got a modern kitchen, you know. Yeah. Anyway, came the dedication. And Vic called up the guard and told him he wanted transportation. I guess that's the way it worked from his viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to go down with him, so next thing I know, we got three helicopters show up out in the... The one to pick up the governor, I came to where the reflector pool was, or
yeah.
in that area.
Yeah.
And that created a stir, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, and it was bad weather, so we fly up the valley at, 600 feet or something. It's overcast all
mm-hmm.
the way. And... I said to Vic, we may have trouble getting over the, when you get to Glendale, though, and then the first real hump shows
yeah.
up. I said, if we can get out of Canyonville over that mountain, we'll be all right until we get to Glendale, or out where the
yeah.
freeway was.
Yeah.
Well, the chopper pilots, they said, no, we can't get through there. So, and they were going to ready to turn around and go back, and I said to Vic, Let's just go up here about 3 miles to Glendale, where the high school is, and land these birds, and we'll get a school bus.
Mm-hmm.
And so he tells the head pilot, so that's
mm-hmm.
what we do, and we created quite a stir in Glendale with three choppers landing on that football field.
Uh-huh.
And the school superintendent's office was an old building right off the edge of the field, and God, he came storming out wanting to know what the hell was going on, and I knew him.
Yeah.
So I jumped out and told him what was going on, and I said, on top of all this, we need a bus. Well, as soon as he cooled down a little, realized the significance of it, why, out came the bus, and the guard people wanted to go hopped in, and, you know, some of them didn't want
yeah.
to go. I don't remember now. So we take the bus over, and God, it was raining like a cow peeing on a flat rock. So he made his speech under the... You know, right off
overhead,
the steps
yeah.
there. And it all worked out. And then we went back to Glendale. I think they had a little lunch or something there. We went back to Glendale, and the school superintendent said, I'd like to talk to the governor about, maybe he'd like to talk to the kids, because they were all excited by that time.
Mm-hmm.
Those choppers sitting out there.
Yeah.
So they had, he had an all-school...
Yeah.
auditorium, and Vic spoke to him, and we had a good time around there, and got in the choppers and went back to Salem.
Yeah.
But he enjoyed that, but anyway, that's about the only other thing. That, yeah, actually, oh, I beat him in a, and no, he beat me. We before all the do-gooders got crazy, you know, the lobby used to do a lot more for legislators. They mm-hmm. weren't buying votes, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever tried to my vote but once.
Mm-hmm.
And that son of a bitch learned not to do it a second time.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of a shady character anyway from Portland. He represented the Three Balls Alone Company.
Uh-huh.
You know, there was half a dozen of them in Portland. And I didn't particularly care for him, but he sent me a check for $100. And one day a bill came up, had something to do with him. And he sent a note in to me while the bill was being talked about on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Remember me. And I jumped up.
I think even then that might have been
I got on the phone. I told my wife to bring me down a check. So she brought one down. I made it out to him for $100. And I went outside and I said, "You can stuff this up your ass and don't ever come to my office again." And you know that word gets around fast.
Yeah.
I don't know how he'd tell it, but that's the way I told him. But anyway, that's another issue. I meant to give you this. What's the other one? There aren't many of these left over.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah.
That's when I first got to the legislature. I found, who was the guy that flew in the, a very good friend of mine. You see, I'm old. I'm 92 and a half. From Hood River.
Oh, Ken Turnstad.
Yeah, Ken.
Yeah.
We were both pilots in World War II.
Uh-huh. That's wonderful.
Oh, and he had a card with that on. I said, "Where'd you get that?" And he said, "The state printers." So I hopped over to the state printers and he said, "The legislative administration doesn't like these anymore because these cost a lot more of the picture on them." And I said, "Well, that's their problem, not mine. I want a bunch of them." He said, "Well, I got about double amount you want, and I'll give them all to you after I print them up." So I got a whole bunch.
That's fantastic.
You can have this too.
Oh, good. Thanks. Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
So I was around the legislature about 30 years.
Yeah.
Way too long. Shows a little instability up here. But frankly, my wife and I, our kids were grown.
Uh-huh.
Or almost grown or in college. I guess one of them was Air Force Academy, and the second one was at Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he played basketball there. And the third one had already graduated from high school, and he went to Lewis and Clark. I said, "Why don't you pick an inexpensive little school like Southern Oregon?"
Right.
You get the idea.
Yep.
I don't know how people educate kids anymore. The cost of
higher
ed, it just seems impossible.
Yeah.
And the only reason that has skyrocketed, I'll show my colors here, it's a good Republican, it's the teachers' union. They just keep escalating costs.
Except in college, there aren't really good unions.
Well, but so, some way they do it.
Well, it's because there's a national market for faculty.
Well, it's the same difference.
So, yeah.
Somebody has to start it.
Yeah.
Or there is a union.
Yeah. And that's why when you look at salaries, University of Oregon and Oregon State are actually, they look pretty high, but nationally they're about 30% below the norm.
On the salaries, so,
yeah.
But education-wise, they do well with what they got.
Yeah. They do great.
But anyway, how'd I get off on that? God,
you were in for 30 years. Your kids were older.
Yeah. But actually, I enjoyed the work.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked at it, I can tell you flat out that. And I got a lot of things passed that,
mm-hmm.
that even now in my brain I can't remember them. But one thing I can tell you about, when you reach age 65, the state can't tax you on your Social Security you got from the federal government because I wrote the constitutional amendment long before I ever looked at it from a personal basis.
Right.
But nobody knows that.
Yeah.
Except me and half a dozen other people.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to Jack Faust. And
Jack
Faust, he was close to Bob Packwood.
Yeah.
Vic appointed him to the LCDC.
He's a lawyer.
Yeah, he's a lawyer up in Portland.
Well, he must be quite old.
I would bet he's early to mid-80s, yeah. Yeah. But he was talking to somebody who was asking, so what has Bob Packwood done that's big for us?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Mark Hatfield's name is on everything.
Oh, well, I know.
But he said, well, you know, on your taxes, when you can deduct your income tax and, you know, that's Packwood's gift to you. All the states with sales tax are subsidizing what you get. But that's not a monument.
I remember going to him on an issue once, and he was very upfront with me. I lost an election in the middle of that 30 years when President Nixon did his trick on us.
Oh, yeah, in 74.
Just about wiped out all the Republicans in the legislature.
Yeah.
I lost by 6 votes, I think.
Oh, my.
And I had an idea the guy had done a bunch of cheating on that, and I went to him, and he said, Markham, I know how you feel, but you can't prove it, so just get ready for the next election. The next election, I beat the son of a bitch by 3,300 votes.
There you go.
He was a union goon from the schools.
Oh, yeah?
All I had to do was show his voting record to the public down here.
Yeah.
It was just awful.
Yeah.
You couldn't believe the crap he voted for.
Yeah. Yep. So, 1968 to, you're in the House the whole time, so always 2-year term.
And by choice.
I
had several opportunities. I could have, you know, obviously I could have gone to the Senate.
Right.
I could have beaten Kitzhoffer when he was in the House.
Mm-hmm.
But I was enjoying myself in the House, and I thought, well, why do I move?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And as I look back at it, maybe I should have.
There is always that, yes.
But John and I are this far apart politically, but we're relatively good friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I always liked the guy on a personal basis.
Mm-hmm. One thing that Vic talks about is when it went from multiple-member districts to single-member districts, it was a different way of governing.
Oh, yeah.
Did you notice that? Did it have an impact on you? Among other things, he said he got nastier letters from his constituents because they felt he was their guy.
I don't remember that, but getting particularly, and I remember when it happened because, like I say, I and another guy represented was Al Plagel, liberal son of a bitch. I'd tell him so if he was sitting here, and I'm not kidding you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the kind of a guy he was. I don't even, did you know the name Al Plagel?
Oh, yeah.
He had a transfer business here in town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, moving furniture and that stuff. And he and I got quite friendly over baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Little League or something.
Mm-hmm.
The second I filed for election, he wouldn't talk to me. I thought, well, you son of a bitch. And I beat him the first session. I got to tell you this. I'm boring.
No, you're not. It's good.
He was one of the big shots up there in the Senate, Democrats. Mm-hmm. I think he ran the tax committee. I don't remember now.
Mm-hmm.
The three-member committee in those days, on the Senate side. What the hell was the bill over? Oh, it was inventory tax.
Mm-hmm.
You know what an inventory tax is? Most people don't.
Yeah.
You know, this guy's got an inventory here.
Yeah.
At the end of the year, you got to declare the value.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was very unfair on the business community. And I'll tell you why. Because I was in the business in sawmill and logging, and we'd log and put up a big deck of logs just so we could keep the crew busy in the bad weather.
Right.
And then they'd come along at the end of the year, the tax assessor didn't his fault.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wanting a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Just because you're not making any money anyway, but you're keeping the crew.
Yeah.
So I put together a bill that would do in the inventory tax. And of course, Plagel didn't have any inventory in his business.
Right.
And he held the bill up. I didn't have any trouble selling it in the House. And so I got smart, and I hired two or three students across the street there at Willamette, and that's maybe when Kerry came to me. I've kind, mm-hmm. kind of, he wasn't with us the first term, but I knew his family very well over in Reachport.
Yeah.
His dad was a mayor for years, yeah. and his son was mayor for years.
Exactly.
And I wrote a letter saying to every businessman in the county what was going on in the bill, and if you feel, as I do, that this is an unfair tax, you write, call, or wire your Senator Flagle, who's holding it up. And he just got inundated. Mm-hmm. You can imagine it, because I hired these girls to go through the yellow pages, and everyone they could dream up had an inventory. He sent them a copy of the letter. It just blew him right out of the water. How did we get started on that? Some of these things come back to me.
Exactly. That's good. That's very good. So you didn't notice a big difference when you went from multiple member districts to single member districts?
No, I didn't really notice any because it was all area run anyway.
Yeah.
Except here I had to concentrate my first term on Roseburg.
Right.
It was the city.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's it. Didn't bother me at all.
Uh-huh. Were you involved in supporting or opposing any of the big 1971-73 measures, the land use bill?
The what?
The land use bill.
Oh, I was dead set against that.
Uh-huh.
And I can tell you flat out, there were lies told on the floor of the House that it would be local control
mm-hmm.
by local people. Within their county and their own council.
Mm-hmm.
And I made that very blunt. This bill does not allow that. Well, we lost it by one vote in the House.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side got up and absolutely told a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that didn't do me any good. But you do the best you can.
Exactly.
I was in the timber and logging business, farming, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it went too far, and I still do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I'm against land use planning.
Yeah.
But this is the most severe in the country, and still is, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, there's one of them that I had a strong opinion of.
Yeah. Did you, when you were in the House during those years, did you ever work with Vic on anything? I mean, he's the leader of a caucus that gets smaller and smaller and smaller.
Over on the Senate side.
Yeah, on the Senate side.
I don't remember that much.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much you work your bills your butt off to get them through your own House, and then if you can get them through, then you go to work over on the other side.
Right.
That's the way I would have.
Yeah, yeah.
My particular way, and nobody else seems to do it, but if I had a bill I liked, the way I'd sell it, I'd just go knock on the door of any of the legislators. I don't care which party they're in. Say, I'd like 5 minutes of your time, and I'd explain it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, perhaps you can't support this, but if you can, I want you to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a whole lot of friends in the Democratic Party doing that.
Yeah.
Because it works.
Yeah.
If they're a lot of them are on the edge on what the bill's going to do, and you're on a first-name basis, and it's hard to do unless you make an effort to go around and get acquainted.
Right.
I learned this the hard way the first session.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you, I've talked to several people, some who agree and some who disagree with it, that say that in the legislature before some point, say 1985, there was enough people who wanted to solve problems rather than take issues and make them partisan. Did you find that to be the case, or was party
no,
an important
the only time
identifier?
I saw that was, and it happens every session, is the partisanship on the Democratic Party. They're more liberal than the
mm-hmm.
Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And it always crops up.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Okay.
I felt that way. That's not a very good answer to you.
No, that's your observation. It's good. Vic becomes governor. Did you? Well, you were worrying about your own election that you lost by six votes in 1974 when he was running the first time. In 1978, he becomes governor, beating Straub.
Yeah.
And then there's the 1979 session. And the 1979 session has been described to me as kind of the high point. There was income from taxes flowing into the state. So that's when there's a big surplus and money's given back to the taxpayers. We put the kicker in place, all those kinds of things. Were you involved in any of the negotiations on that money going back to the taxpayers?
Oh, yeah. I was on the House Revenue Committee several times,
mm-hmm.
and enjoyed that work. You learn something real fast. But I worked with Kit.
Debs Potts?
No, and I knew Debs very personally. But again, you just said it. My friend at
Ken Jernstad.
Yeah,
Ken. Yeah, there we go.
I worked with him on that thing on the kicker side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally got that into the bill, and if it went over 2%, they had to kick it all back. And
yeah.
We had lots of arguments about that, as I remember. But
yeah.
I was very proud of that thing, and still am.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how these Democrats just go crazy and think you're going to have to send back a few bucks to the guys that paid it to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm showing my partisanship, I suppose. But it may be the only one in the country, but it works.
Uh-huh.
It holds down spending. And
yes.
That was the whole goddamn idea.
Yeah. Do you remember where the idea for it came from?
No, I don't. Who tells you it came?
Well,
do you have an
author
in mind?
No, we're just...
I don't remember.
Uh-huh.
Because it started in the Senate, if I remember right.
Okay.
Because I remember going over there and visiting with, what's his name, several times.
Uh-huh.
He had... Jernstad had an interesting thing. He never was in the Army Air Force.
Oh, yeah? He fly for the Chinese or something?
He was in the Marine Corps.
Okay.
When the war came along.
Uh-huh.
And, or even before the war, I guess it was, Chiang Kai-shek, the Chinese Republican, if
yeah.
you will, he made a deal through the name of that general, I can't say it now, that was his air aide in China.
Mm-hmm.
To get these bunch of aircraft over there, the P-40s, and they offered money to both the Army Air Force and the Navy Air Force and the Marine Corps. Anybody who wants to come was a good salary. It was
mm-hmm.
about double over, plus the fact you shoot one down, you get $500.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, young bunch of guys, a bunch of them volunteered. He was in the Marine Corps at the time.
Yeah.
And so he got on the boat in San Francisco and over he went. And he shot, have you read up on him at ever?
Yeah, yeah.
He shot down a couple dozen or a dozen at least,
mm-hmm.
if I remember right. And then he came home and the Army tried to get them all to join up the Army Air Force. But he said no, and he made a deal with... one of the big aircraft manufacturers back in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
One, I hate to admit it, but I just don't, my memory's failing me, and I don't like that at all, especially having to admit it. But
believe me, when I started this project, I said to Vic, I wish you could have asked me 15 years ago.
Republic Air Force, they,
uh-huh.
they produced the P-47, which was a very... wonderful aircraft. But anyway, he went to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
And how to get off on that?
Ken Jernstad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, oh, I said he wasn't in the military.
Yeah.
But in effect he was.
Yeah.
The first start over in China.
Yeah.
That'd be quite an adventure.
Oh, absolutely. By the end of 1979, the economy starts caving in. And by 1982, we're in, the mills are shutting down, all of that.
Due to the lack of timber.
Yeah, well, it was due to there wasn't demand, and then that hit the timber industry. The environmental stuff was beginning then, but it really comes in stronger by about 1984, 85. But it's just, all this coming together.
The economy went to hell.
Yeah. There were a lot of special sessions.
Yeah, there were more special sessions than there were regular sessions.
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, I'm talking to Norm. He was saying he was getting pretty tired of them. but especially 1982 had three different special sessions in it. There were special sessions later on to repeal the unitary tax. Just all sorts of things.
You got great recall.
Well, I've also been researching this. I've been researching this, too.
You've been what?
I've been researching it as
well. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good. You did it right.
Yeah. So, were you still on the Revenue Committee during those times when the economy was really going?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't remember now. I've been on so damn many committees.
Yeah. Yeah. In 1982, there was a really long special session in January. And in that special session, basically, there was the legislature met, and then instead of adjourning, you kind of suspended things and then came back. And so it ended up being officially 37 days, but it's like 48 days.
Yeah, we took a break to get our breath, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
They figure out how to screw the taxpayers and raise taxes or something, I've forgotten.
Mm-hmm. And it's shortly there, by the fall, is when they do the workers' comp.
Oh, was that it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they were desperate for money.
Yeah, they were desperate at that point. Earlier on, there was in 1981, there was a supplementary income tax surcharge put in.
Yeah.
Did you fight that, or did you say, this is what we have to do?
I can't sit here and tell you how I voted on it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But if we were plumb desperate, I probably held my nose and voted.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the way Vic describes it is they had already cut, it was a $600 million hole or whatever it was, and they had cut $300 million, and he looked at it and said, if you cut another $300 million, we're going to really, hurt a lot of things. So
that was it. He went through a lot of tough times here.
Yeah. Yeah. He really did. Did you pay attention as he started going on international trade trips and became Trader Vic?
I didn't and was not involved.
You're not involved in that?
I should have gotten involved, maybe, but I didn't.
Looking at the number of people who went on some of the trips, there's especially a couple in China where they were focusing on logging things. So, types of equipment and training people and all that kind of thing.
Yeah. I was over to China on one good trip with Mei Yi and...
Mm-hmm.
Larry
Campbell?
Campbell up here in Eugene. He was a speaker at that time. We had a great time over there.
Mm-hmm.
We paid our own way to get there and back, but when we got to China, they really rolled out the red car.
Yeah. That's great.
And we actually did pay for our own airfare. We didn't stick it to the taxpayer, believe it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I was interested to read that the first real connection with China that we made was Mei Yi's home province.
See that ring?
Uh-huh.
We stopped somewhere. Mei was on the trip, of course. I used to kid her about, Mei, it's about time you and I take a slow boat to China. And I used to tell her that once in a while before I ever thought about going over there because of the song.
Yeah.
And she had... We were good friends.
Uh-huh.
I never saw her husband hardly at all, ever. She kept him hidden, or he... Well, I knew what he was doing. He was over in China about half the time. He had about six live-ins with him over there. But that's another issue.
Uh-huh.
I suppose I was jealous. I don't know. But anyway, May was along, and we were out on one island just off of China where there's no streetcars or no cars out there, just a business place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the island was, maybe 4 square miles or something, all kinds of business. And they took us out there. And I wanted to get a hunk of jade, and I saw this stone in the window, and this, you know, about every eighth store was this stuff, among other stuff. But I went in there, and I know bargain like hell, and I didn't get anywhere. I've forgotten the prices. But I went out, and I said, May, I want you to buy that stone for me. And she went in there, and she came out about 10 minutes later at one-third the price that he had would come down to for me. And I said, thanks, May. And I took it home, had the jeweler make the ring.
Uh-huh.
But it's a good memory.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Except the thing doesn't shine like it.
It's
very dull, and it costs a lot of money to get that shine.
To get it buffed up.
They have to grind it down again.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a good keepsake.
Yep. So any other memories of Vic while he was governor that jump out at you?
No, the ones I do remember was the fishing with him. Did I finish that?
No.
I started to talk about the lobby and get Pacific Power and Light. Forgotten who their main lobbyist was then, but he was... been around there for many years, and they were awfully generous to Republicans with, you know, by money. I mean, generous. Instead of $50, you'll have to get $250 or $400 or something. And I always got along with them. I can remember the first time I went to out to a bar at night, my wife and I, I went up to the bar for something, and I forgot. Maybe my wife wasn't with me. And I sat down, this guy turns out to be that lobbyist. So I bought him a drink. And he about fell out of his chair. I mean that. So we got along pretty good after that. Well spent dollar or two.
Yeah.
But there was a great restaurant out in South Salem. Maybe you remember the name of it. I don't. Well, it's not important today. That it was kind of a hideout for the good guys, or booze joint, whatever you want to call it. Now, how'd they get off on that story?
Fishing.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, this Pacific Power lined up about six or seven of us to go trout fishing up in Canada.
Uh-huh.
And we got on the plane in, I don't know, Salem or Portland, and it was a twin engine. And I was a pilot in World War II, and I know a little bit about flying.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we went, we get up there, I had hunted moose in the same general area a couple of times. I used to hunt a lot when I was younger because I was making good money and whatnot. But we had a bet on it, and Vic was in the same boat I was. Who get the best trout? Well, he got about a 19-inch trout, and the best I could get was about 18 and a half. And we're arguing over who had the longest fish, and they're both beautiful fish.
Yeah.
But he won the argument. But then when I got even with him with a shootout, I reminded him of that.
Right. That's wonderful. Did you go fishing with him after he left office?
No, but he used to do a lot of fishing over on the east side and that main river over there.
Yeah.
What I read about.
Yeah.
Remember him tell me about one time he was sitting his feet up on the bank or up at the cabin, whatever they had there, and this boat went by. It had about three guys in it. and they all dropped their pants and bent over and, what do you call it?
Mooned him.
Mooned him, yeah. He got such a laugh. He said, if I'd only had a BB gun.
That sounds like floating down the Rogue River.
Yeah. I've done that once. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because that would rain most of the time.
Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I wished I had more I could offer you.
Well, no, you've offered me a lot. Any sense about how people thought of him as an ex-governor?
Well, I always thought that the Oregonian was particularly nice to be. My own personal opinion, because I always read the Oregonian for all my life. Until about a year ago, I changed to the Eugene rag. I shouldn't have done it, but I did, just because they did a better sports job on Oregon, although I'm a Oregon Stater because my kid played baseball and basketball, one of my kids, for 3 or 4 years at Oregon State.
Yeah.
He went on, became a brain surgeon, and I talked him into coming down. I had to work at it. They used to have a doctor of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day they had a doctor of the day, and he'd be introduced to the House and the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted Mike to do it, and he just was very reticent. He finally did it, and he knew Kitzhoffer in medical school.
Oh, yeah?
So I took them both to lunch. And,
and
he told me, he said, you know, I never did get along very good with Kitzhoffer at school because he was such a liberal.
Uh-huh.
And he said he would pardon me for making it. He said he wore a beard down to here and, and would challenge on some of the craziest ideas in medicine.
Yeah.
And so he said I'd had to endure to listen to it. But anyway, I liked John, and Mike didn't dislike him. He just, well, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel bad about Kitzhoffer. I do. I really do. Mm-hmm. I think that woman must have showed him some kind of sex he didn't dream of in his life. Now, that's a quote, but don't put it public.
It's on the book.
How could he get hooked that bad?
Yeah.
It's just beyond my belief.
Yeah. It's really interesting. When he started his third term, he had a very different personality than his first two terms. I mean, he campaigned for other Democrats. He never did that before. And people said, wow, this woman really must have changed his life.
And he was with her, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, they were together. I think they started being together maybe 3 or 4 years before that third run.
Yeah, yeah.
So they'd known each other for before that, but I think they became a couple. 2006, 2007.
It blew my mind the way he got, you know, he's a bright guy.
Yeah.
That he'd get hooked like that.
Yeah.
After being single for, 30, 40 years, whatever.
Yeah.
30 years or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I wanted to get I was terribly partisan when I first got elected. I thought you had to be, and I wondered how I was going to get along with these Democrats up here. Really, I was a little nervous about it.
Yeah.
But I figured out how to get over that, but, I was going to say something pertinent, but I guess I lost it on what I was going to say.
Partisanship? Getting over it?
Yeah, but there was something I wanted to...
Kitzhuber?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't come back to
Yep.
me.
Yep.
It may. You better eat your carrots.
Well, I think I'm going to have these peppers.
You going to take them with you? Eat them on the way home? Or?
Yeah.
Where are you headed? Back to Medford?
I live in Portland. So I'm going down to Medford.
That's your old home. Did you go to high school down there?
Yep.
What year did you get out?
77. So I'm interviewing Bob Smith tomorrow morning.
How is he? I haven't seen him in...
I don't know. I've heard all sorts of people have said they haven't seen him in a while. So I'll find out.
He lives up on a hill there.
Yeah.
Is that where you're going to meet him?
No, I'm going to meet him at his office, just kind of by the airport.
Where is it? By the airport?
Yeah.
I got to know Bob real well. I had a small airplane for a number of years. I used to fly over and spend some time with him at the ranch.
Oh, yeah?
He was Speaker of the House when I first went there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's kind of an impressive guy. He got, let himself get, he eats too much, but I got to be careful what I say. But I think he still tries to run a lobby company, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Or one of his boys runs it or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. I called. There was a young man answered the phone. So.
Well, his boys aren't young anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's probably a hired hand.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, Bob Packwood's still doing his company, and as someone pointed out, he can just have one client. And that's good enough.
he commands a lot of money.
As long as the 1986 tax reform is still basically the law we have, he's the guy.
And don't they drag him back there about every 2 years to talk to a bunch of them?
They do, but apparently what he does during when Congress is really meeting, he lives in D.C.
Well.
And apparently he plays a lot of contract bridge. And then when they need questions answered, he goes and deals with them.
That's a pretty good way to live out your life. It's probably making $200,000 to $300,000 a year.
Yeah.
Or more. Who
yeah.
knows?
Who knows?
And who cares?
Yeah. Well, this has been very good.
I have fond memories of the legislature. My
mm-hmm.
wife and I really enjoyed it. She became... I made a speech when I left the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only thing I think about it, one of my comments was, you know, folks, I was a speaker pro tem for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I told every speaker, I could have been speaker any time I wanted to, but I had other things to do other than
mm-hmm.
play politician. But I sure as hell knew my way around. But what led me to this, I'm trying to think.
Your speech?
Yeah, I remember my opening statement was, or after I got into my statement, when I was saying goodbye to the group, was when I first came here, I think there were 9,000 lawyers in the state of Oregon, and I'm leaving now, I'm leaving you with 30,000 lawyers. Do any of you feel better about it? But that's true.
Oh, yeah?
It's just incredible. Are you a lawyer?
No.
I enjoy telling that story once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife, after we'd been there 3 or 4 sessions, and she knew the routine
mm-hmm.
very well, and she was a good secretary, and she became the teacher for all of each session that we'd start. Well, I hear a whole lot of, in the house, there'd be 60
yeah.
new women, or more, damn few had men in those days.
Yeah.
And she'd hold class for about 3 days and teach them all this stuff. So she was extremely well-liked around the legislature, and that didn't hurt me a bit either,
yeah.
of course. And I don't know how I got into that, but between us, we really enjoyed ourselves up there.
That's wonderful.
But my kids weren't very enamored with it.
Yeah.
They really weren't.
Yeah.
And I was on the where Smith is still on it now, the Oregon State Capital Foundation.
Right.
I was on that for 10 years, and finally,
yeah.
I just a year ago or so, I said, I'm getting a little tired of driving up here and back in the same day.
Yeah.
And then we got kind of bogged down in trying to figure out how to save the capital.
Yes.
And you probably know a little about that.
Yeah.
All they got to do is present the legislature the bill for $500 million, and they can remodel the whole thing. And the consensus is, if we do it, then we got to move the legislature out for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
It is such a mammoth thing.
Yeah.
Other states have done it.
Well, Washington had to because their capital broke in an earthquake. Yeah. Yeah.
I was up there a couple of times, spoke to the Senate and the House at different times. On whatever.
Yeah. Did you notice, I talked to Wally Carson.
Great friend of mine.
Wally was talking about, at some point, everybody was arguing about income tax, sales tax, income tax, sales tax. And then he went to Washington, to Olympia, and the parties were exactly the opposite. He said, I never knew the Columbia River had such a powerful political effect.
I remember Wally was in the House when I first got there, and he went to the Senate. Then he got appointed to the judgeship.
Right.
The next thing you know, he's on the Supreme Court, and the next thing he's the chair of it for years.
Yeah.
And when the session would start, every morning he's sitting in the basement there at the cafeteria talking to legislators. You know, they always got something they want.
Yeah.
Most of it was always, you got to adjust the salaries for all my judges. Well, I had a bill in to, what the hell did it do? And he didn't like it. What the hell was that? How can I forget such an interesting topic? Well, it may come to me later, but and I didn't do a good job of keeping my records.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked back and I said, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Spilt milk. But, oh, it was a bill to put a limit, if I remember right, on what age you would have to not have to serve jury duty.
Okay.
He didn't like that bill at all.
Yeah.
And I put it in before he, and he came over to him talking about it, and I said, well, bullshit. Judge? I said, I have people living up these canyons here, and I do, you know, up at Drew or up South Umpqua or the North Umpqua, Diamond Lake and whatever. Old people. And I said, they get a goddamn letter from the county, whoever writes them for the county, they got to show up for jury duty. And here, they have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and then drive in the dark for an hour and a half after they feed themselves to sit in here and say, well, we don't need you today. But that's the law. And I said, that's bullshit. And these are older people. So I put in a bill to, well, he had a bunch of reasons why. He had to have everybody on that pool. I said, bullshit, you do not. And so we disagreed, but that's all right. But I'll get to the damn point I'm making here in a minute. But of course, the bill would always come up in the Judiciary Committee. Well, there's 6 out of 7 out of 9 are lawyers, seems like, always. And they probably should be. And I got my act together, and I'd go in and tell them my story about how important it was that we should have a cutoff of 65, and if you pass 65, you shouldn't be a... is the cutoff being called for jury duty. And I had a good song and dance put together about it. I just mentioned a little bit about it to you. And they're sitting there kind of half-ass agreeing with me. Of course, I knew all of them, unless it was a new one. And I get to leave. Next, Judge Carlson, would you like to come up? Of course, he'd been number two on the list, see?
Yeah.
And he'd go up and go on all these, explained all these things about how it wasn't good policy. And, of course, who's going to vote against it?
Yeah.
Chief Justice. So he screwed me about 2 sessions in a row doing that, and we got so we go up hand in hand and sit there, both of us, and talk about it. But then they'd vote later, of course.
Yeah.
And fuck you, Markham. This is my bread and butter. And he'd laugh, and so I guess it would be about the third term. I don't give up easily. I brought the bill back, put a new date on it, and ran it in. And it would go through the same damned act. And it was getting toward the end of the session. And I went over and worked the bill on the floor of the Senate, because I had it on the House. And then I went to the judges, to the governor's guy that reads all the bills. You probably know him. He's a black man. What was his name? He's a lawyer.
Yeah.
I think he even worked for Vic, but I forgot. But that's beside the point, the color. I don't mean anything by that. And he said, we don't have any problem with the bill. I said, that's all I need to know. So what I did, I took the guy, they'd already shit-canned my bill. I took it and put a new date on it. And talked to the chairman of the committee and all in his office and whatnot. And I got that bill passed the last day of the session. And I took that son of a bitch. Oh, what happened? Then I smugly went back to my office. I get this phone call. It's Carson. You son of a bitch. What are you doing? I said, I'm going to come over and have a signed copy of this just for you. So I go to his office and said, here it is. And he's about half mad. He said, how'd you do it? And I said, I'm not going to tell you a damn thing, Judge. You know it all. But we've always been good friends. In fact, my son, who was a medical doctor at the time, was shouldn't even bring this up, but was camped with his wife over whatever, they're just over on the east side there out of Bend this way, about a sister somewhere. And he heard this kid in the middle of the night running through the camp there screaming and hollering, and he got up and the kid had overdosed badly. And Mike put him in a car and hauled him into Bend to the hospital, but they couldn't save him. And of course, he heard about that, not through me, and he didn't. The boy didn't survive, which is tragic. But that's another issue. But I really liked him. How does he look? Is he in good health?
Yeah, he's in pretty good health. He's funny.
Do you see him occasionally?
No, I mean, I've seen him in the distance before.
Yeah.
But sitting in his house and talking to him and his wife and their dog. So, yeah, he was in fine form.
And he's got quite a retirement. He's a retired Brigadier General.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
That's what you get for staying in the reserve.
Yeah, forever and ever and ever.
Or whatever.
Exactly.
I should have done that. I would have liked it if I'd lived up in the Portland area. I would have gotten in the Reserve or National Guard air stuff. But hell, I couldn't. You know, old 99 was a long grind in the old
long
days.
Grind, yeah.
I was trying to make a living anyway.
Yep.
Well, it's been fun. I don't know if you've pumped enough bullshit out.
Oh, no. No, this is great. This is wonderful stuff.